That is the name of our series. So, turn to the book of Joshua, because that's where we're going to be. If you don't know what it is, that's the fifth book. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. It's sixth book, not fifth book, because the Pentateuch is the first five. I should know that, right? I should know that without having to have it put on the screen. Wow. Well, you can see where Joshua 1:1-9, and I had all those other ones up there, and you can't read them because I can barely read them from here. So hopefully you can go online and catch those later, but those are ones that I'll mention later on. But we're going to look at this, and the title of the message is always Victorious. So let's look and see what we can glean from the first nine verses of Joshua, see what the Lord has as we begin this journey through the book. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the deserts to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Well, the nation of Israel at this point had been camped near the Jordan for about 2 months. And during this time, Deuteronomy, all the things that happened in Deuteronomy took place. Moses recounts their 40-year journey. He has them renew the covenant that they made at Mount Sinai. He also transfers leadership from himself to Joshua. And then as he does that, the Lord then calls him home. And following Moses' death, the Israelites spend 30 days mourning the only leader that they'd ever known. And Joshua is hurting as well, not just because they lost a leader, but he lost a friend. He was Moses' confidant. He was Moses was his mentor. He had been his assistant, his right-hand man, for 40 years, and now he was gone. But grief was not the only thing that was weighing on him as well, because now he was expected to step into Moses' shoes. I mean, he was expected to lead this people. He was the head guy now. And those were some big shoes. Remember, he said Moses spoke to God face to face like no one else has. It was at this pivotal time that God speaks to Joshua. Look at verses 1 and 2. And here we see God's plan for them. He says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. So God's plan for the Israelites, now that Moses is gone, now that they've done the 30 days of mourning, he has a plan. He says, go take the land, get ready, and go and cross the Jordan. Take possession of what I'm giving you. Now, Joshua knew what laid across the river. Remember, he was one of the original 12 spies that went across and walked through the land for 40 days. He knew what was over there. He had seen the walls. He had seen the fortifications. He had seen the giants. He knew these were people that were warriors. Their whole society was built around war. He also knew what was on his side of the Jordan with him. These were a bunch of ex-slaves that had been wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. They'd been in the desert. They weren't warriors. They were untested in battle. They had inferior weapons. It looked like the deck was stacked. You look at it and go, there's no way these folks are going to be able to take that land. It would have been very easy for him just to look at the enemy, have his confidence melt away, and convince himself that victory was impossible. I remember another story. You may have heard this story before, where victory didn't look like it was possible. It happened in the Valley of Elah. There was this big guy. Maybe you've heard of him, Goliath. Have you ever heard of him? He was challenging the armies of Israel, and all the army was looking at him, and they were shaking in their boots. They took one look at him and said, there is no way that we can win. Goliath wanted to fight someone, and nobody was willing to step out because they said, the deck is stacked against us. There's no way to win. It's only going to end in defeat. And then there was this young man, a shepherd boy by the name of David, right? Maybe you've heard of him. But he stepped up. He walked out on the battlefield. Now, what did David have? Did he have any armor? Did he have a sword? Did he have a shield? No, he had a sling, he had a stick, and he had some rocks. And he's going against Goliath. Goliath was about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He had a spear that was taller than that. He had a shield, he had armor, he had a sword. I mean, I wouldn't want to go up against a guy like that. But David goes against him. And what happened? The impossible happened. The giant fell. We often look at life and we say there's no way to win. It's rigged. The deck is stacked against me. The enemy stands there and yells that, hey, you're going down. Your limb's big. You're going down. I'm going to get you down. I'm going to keep you down. I'm going to kick you while you're down. I'm going to keep you just totally and completely on the ground all the time. There's no way you're ever going to win. And it begins to eat away at us. Because Satan is always throwing those things at us. It begins to eat at our confidence. We begin to think that the only way our situation can end is in defeat. We see no way to victory. But you know what God says when the enemy screams at us and says, I'm going to take you out? God says, you ain't got a chance. Look at verses 3 through 5. This is God's promise to Joshua. It says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise he makes to Joshua. Joshua, if you cross this river, if you go across the Jordan, I promise you victory. Every place you walk, every piece of ground that you see will be yours. No one will be able to stop you from taking it. No matter who they are or what they throw at you, they're not going to be a match for you on the battlefield. No foe will be able to stand against you. God says, you went over there. You know how big they are. You know you look like a grasshopper in their sight. But guess what? The grasshopper is fixing to take down the giants. And God tells Joshua, the enemy doesn't stand a chance against you. Now, when we read this, in English, but in Greek, it's important to understand what the Greek terms convey here. When God speaks of Joshua taking this land, saying, you will be successful, it is though it's already a completed action. It's as though it's already happened. It is a done deal. It is a for sure thing. It's money in the bank. If Joshua and the people move forward, they're moving forward into a no-lose situation because God says you're going to be victorious. And he says you're going to be victorious not just once, not just twice, but every time. The enemy will come against you, but the enemy will never win. Can you imagine the confidence that gave Joshua to say, you're not ever going to lose. You can't lose. That's an amazing thing. An amazing thing. As believers, just like Joshua, we have an enemy. And who is our enemy? Satan is our enemy. And why is he our enemy? Because we've been commanded to go and take his land, to invade his territory and set the captive free. But not just that. He also is upset and he's our enemy because we're living in rebellion against him. See, he once controlled us through sin. We were his slaves, but now we're free. Free to live a life of victory, and he hates it. He hates it. He hates it because we've turned our back on him. He hates it because we help others break free. He hates it when we uphold the standards of the Lord and bring glory to the one he hates so much and is fighting against. So he does his best to enslave us again, to throw one temptation after another against us, to do his best to derail our faith and to bring us down in defeat. We indeed have an enemy that tries to stand in our way of receiving all God has for us. But just like Joshua, we're told that the enemy will not be able to stand against us. He will not win, but we will be victorious. I want you to listen to the word of God and what he says about Satan's chances of victory. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord." Matthew 16:18, "And I tell you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." The church. Are you part of the church? Are you a member of the body of Christ? So what does that say? Even the gates of hell will not prevail against you or against this church. John 16:33, "I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And in 1 John 5:4, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." So let me kind of sum all those up for you. No weapon in Satan's arsenal is going to be effective. Nothing he throws at you is going to hit its mark. No scheme will work. He can send the hordes of hell against us, and yet we'll be able to stand our ground, watch him flee, and walk away in victory. We will overcome. We will win through our faith in Jesus Christ our Lord every time. See, there's no way Satan can win. He cannot beat us. We can't lose. Victory will be ours every time. So as we face life, we can face the devil with confidence, because God tells us what he told Joshua. You'll always be victorious. Satan will not be able to stop us from moving forward and doing what God has called us to do. He will not be able to destroy our faith. He will not be able to keep us from growing in the Lord. He will not be able to take heaven away from us. And he will not cause the Lord to turn his back on us. We will never fall before the enemy, but the enemy will fall before us. But even though God promises Joshua victory, it's not Joshua's military genius that's going to bring it. It's not because the Israelites have so many soldiers, or they have so much better weapons, or they're so much stronger than the enemy. Victory did not hinge on their strength or their efforts. If it did, there'd be a lot of reasons why they should be afraid and why they should doubt. But that's not what it's going to hinge on. Look in verse 5 and you will see that Joshua is assured of God's provision. In verse 5, the last sentence, "As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." God makes it clear that victory, when it comes, and it will come because of him. You see, God's provision is his presence. When God says, "I will be with you," it's not that God is sitting and taking a seat and going, "Okay, let's see what's going to happen." He's not sitting there going, "Okay, go do this, go do this." He is there. When it says God will be with you, when God says, "I will be with you," it means he is there, he is active, he is working, and he's going to bring about what he says he will do. And here he says he's going to bring about a victory. So when he tells Joshua, "I am going to be with you," he's saying, "I'm the one that's going to bring the victory. I'm the one that's going to cause this to happen. You don't have to worry about it because I'm there making sure that what I say does come about." He just tells Joshua, "I want you to know why you're going to win, why you're always going to be victorious. And the reason is me, because I'm with you. Left on your own, Joshua, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. You'll never be victorious on your own. But because I'm going before you, because I'm going to fight for you, I'm going to drive the enemy back. I'm going to do it. Your victory rests in me, and I'm always victorious." Now, if it's impossible for God to fail, if he's always victorious, if he never faces defeat, if he makes us the same promises that he made Joshua, that he's always going to be with us, and he's made that promise, is he not, in the New Testament? Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He makes those promises, the very same promises he makes to Joshua. Not that we get to go out and take another country and take land, but that he's always going to be with us. So when the enemy attacks, what do you think the outcome is going to be when the enemy attacks? If that's God's promise to us, God will strengthen us. He will give us wisdom and courage to face the devil down, to stand firm in our faith, to say no to temptation. And then if we stand firm, what does the Word of God say? Stand firm, resist the devil, and he will do what? He will flee from you. He'll come back, but for the time being, he's going to run. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this. It says, no temptation is taking you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And Isaiah 52:12 says, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. See, the Lord stands with us, and he strengthens us. He fights by our side, and he fights for us so we are not overcome. God is always victorious, and if he fights for us and with us, is there any chance at all, that we're going to go down in defeat? No. No. You know, we may stumble, we may fall, but we're not going to be defeated. We're not going to be defeated. We're going to win. But, you know, it doesn't always look like God is winning, does it? It doesn't always look that way. There are times when Satan seems to have the upper hand, where the good guys are losing the battle, where victories are few and far between, when believers are slandered and mocked and discriminated against, called fanatics or moral Nazis or bigots, vilified in the press, when people are doing what is right and they're ridiculed for it. What right is wrong and wrong is right, and it's all upside down. It's easy to look at that and say, well, God's not winning, that our efforts are useless. But what we have to remember is that the score is not kept here on earth, but it's kept in heaven by God himself. And God keeps score differently than we do here in the world. He has a different scoreboard. Even when it seems like we have lost, that we've got the short end of the stick, never, ever think that you've lost, because you haven't. When Satan had Jesus crucified, what did he think? I've won. Jesus lost. The religious leaders thought they had won. The crowds thought that Jesus had lost to the powers that be. Even the disciples thought he had lost. But what did God declare Jesus? He declared him victor, the overcomer. It didn't look good. The victory was there. Victory is not measured in heaven by results. You ever think about that? It's not measured by results. Victory is measured by obedience. Jesus was victorious because he was obedient to the Father. If he had never been obedient, the victory never would have come. If we're obedient, we'll win every time, even if there's no quantifiable results from our efforts. Victory is still ours because of our obedience. As we follow, our faith grows, our relationship with the Lord deepens, we glorify the Lord, we expand the witness of the kingdom, and we lay up treasures in heaven for ourselves. See, Joshua was called to cross the Jordan River to face the enemy, take possession of the land. God told them that he'd make it happen, that he would bring victory. But there was one exception of why he would not bring victory. God says, I'm going to bring victory. But there's one thing that would cause me not to bring the victory, one thing that would cause you to lose. And that's found in verses 6 through 9. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So what is the only thing that would bring defeat? It was disobedience. He says, don't turn to the right and the left. That way you will be successful. That way you'll have victory. He says, make sure you meditate on the word day and night and follow the word. Then you'll be successful and prosperous. Then you will have the victory. The only thing that can bring defeat is a refusal to follow the Lord. Refuse to love him with all our heart, mind, and soul and obey his words. See, Joshua was told to be strong and courageous. To be strong and courageous. When I think about being strong and courageous, this is kind of how I pictured this scene when I was younger. I would see this rather small guy, you know, working up his courage, walking to this really big guy, looking up to him, staring him in the eye, just, you know, showing no fear or, you know, no, just as calm and collected as he possibly could, staring at this big guy that looked like it could tear him apart. That's what I always pictured when I was younger. Do you remember the Rocky movies? Any of you watch the Rocky movies? Some of you have, some of you didn't. There's probably 55 of them out there by now. I don't know. They just kept making them. I think this was the second movie. But you remember the one where Mr. T was in the movie? The first one, Rocky is the champion. Then the second one, he goes to, Mr. T challenges him and he gets beat. Well, the second time they face off in the ring, Rocky's trying to win his title back. They're sitting there and they're facing off against each other. Last time they were there, Rocky got the stuffings beat out of him. And they square off at center ring. And Mr. T, they're looking at each other. You know, Rocky's going, you know, and Mr. T's looking down at him. Mr. T looks at him and says, I'm going to bust you up. And Rocky says, go for it. You know, that's what I always pictured here. Just somebody who would stand their ground against somebody big, grit their teeth and just clench their fist and stand there, even if they were going to get the beating of their life. You know, never back down, no matter what. But that's really not what this is talking about. This is not talking about how Joshua should act on the battlefield. He shouldn't just be there and look at the enemy and go, nope, bring it, come on, I got it. That's not what he's talking about. He's not telling him how to act in front of his troops. Be strong and courageous, show no fear in front of your troops. That's not what he's talking about here either. What he's talking about is his walk with the Lord. Be strong and courageous in your walk with me. He says, stand strong, make no apologies, and never back down from standing on the truth of my word. Don't let anything or anyone keep you from remaining faithful. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to turn to the right or to the left. There are going to be times that others are going to try to get you to do other things, but don't flinch. Courageously stand your ground. That's the only way you're going to be able to carry the day. Remaining in me is the only way you're going to be always victorious. See, in verses 7 and 8, I know we read them already, but I've pointed out, he talks about if you stay the course, if you don't turn to the right and the left, you're going to be victorious. So the whole idea there is, if making sure you stay the path is going to be a victory, if you turn to the right and the left, what do you think it's going to bring? Going to bring defeat. So that's the only thing that will bring us down, is our disobedience to the Lord. If we're obedient, we're going to win. We're going to win. We may get a few bumps and bruises along the way, but we're going to win. We may not see the victory here. How many martyrs do you think when John the Baptist was in prison and they said, okay, come on, we're going to execute you, we're going to cut your head off. You think he thought that was going to be a victory? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, you think that felt like a victory? You think John, you know, when the disciples were being killed for their faith, it didn't seem like a victory. But their victory came in heaven. So even if we don't see the victory here, we are going to experience it in heaven. We're going to be vindicated there. When my sister was in high school, she played basketball. And they had a really good season. They had made it all the way to the regional finals. They won this game, they got to go to state, the state tournament. And that was a big deal. It was a fabulous game. They were going back and forth the whole game. I mean, just the lead changed so many times. And it was just a fantastic game. But with 10 seconds left on the scoreboard, we were ahead by 1 point. And the other team had the ball on their end of the court, and they let a shot fly, and they missed. We got the rebound. They would have gone ahead if they'd have made it, but they missed. And we got the rebound, and we took the ball down to our end of the court and went into a stall. That means you're passing the ball around, dribbling. You're not going to take a shot. You're just waiting for the clock to run out. And with 10 seconds, the spectators start the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. And at 5, one of the girls decides to ignore the coach's instructions. And she decides to go for a layup. She goes for a layup, and she misses the layup of all things. She misses. We don't get the rebound. The other team gets the rebound. With a quick outlet pass, they're down on their end of the court. 1 second to go. They shoot. Buzzer sounds and everybody's just holding their breath. And just after the buzzer sounds, the ball goes swish. They lost the regional championship by 1 point. All because one girl decided to ignore the instructions of her coach. All she had to do was hold on to that ball. That's all she had to do to ensure victory. All we have to do to ensure victory is hold on to Jesus, listen to his instructions as we courageously stand firm in our faith. How many of you remember traveling without Game Boys, tablets, cell phones, or DVD players? You had to make up your own games, didn't you? Well, one of the games that we made up when we were kids is we were going to guess to see how tall the next overpass was, how tall the next bridge was, you know. And this was a game I never lost at. I won every single game, every time. Because it wasn't long into this game that I realized that before the exit, just before the bridge, there was a sign. And that sign said clearance on it. And it told you exactly how tall that bridge was you were fixing to go under. So I never guessed until after I saw that sign. So I won every single time. Now, that game didn't go on very long before my brother caught on, but I won every time while we played it. So I never worried about losing. It was always that. I never failed. The reason was because I stacked the deck. The same way, the deck has been stacked for us. It's been stacked in our favor. Jesus is going to win. Every time. And because he wins, if we follow him, we're going to win as well. We can face the challenges of life. We can face devil's onslaughts with confidence, knowing that he's always victorious. And that if God wins, if God doesn't lose, and if we walk with him, neither do we. Let me say that again. If God doesn't lose and we walk with him, neither do we. We are not ever going to lose. We are winners. I think I've said this before, and I'll end on this. I had a secretary. She's now with the Lord. But she used to say on days when things were not going so well, she'd say, you know what? This isn't great, but you know, my losing days are over. I'm going to win anyway. I love that whole attitude of that I cannot be defeated. My faith is strong. I trust my Lord, and I'm going to win because he's going to win, and he's going to make sure that happens. So he promised Joshua victory, and he's promised us the same thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the fact that you've won the ultimate victory. You've won over sin and death. Because you've won over sin and death, you give us that same victory. Father, you are undefeated. And because we're part of your team, we're undefeated as well. You know, there are times that we stumble and fall. There are times that we don't get it right. But Lord, that doesn't count us out. That doesn't mean we're defeated. Paul said it. We are crushed, but we're not killed. We are hurt, but we're not out. We're down, but we get back up because you are the one who allows us to overcome. And Lord, I know that life can be hard. There's a lot of things out there that just come at us and they put our lives into a tailspin. But Lord, you have promised that you'll always be with us. It doesn't matter what we're facing. It doesn't matter what we're doing. You're there. And if we look to you, you're going to turn that to our good. You're going to walk us through. You're going to give us the wisdom and the strength to be able to stand firm against the things that come against us, particularly the temptations and the attacks of Satan. You're going to make sure that we can stand our ground. You're going to make sure that he does not hurt us spiritually. Yeah, there are times when we will go through rough times. There are going to be times that we hurt. We're going to grieve. We're going to suffer setbacks. But, Lord, those are just designed to bring us closer to you. Because, Lord, when those things come and we run to you like a strong tower, you promise that we'll be safe. Because you're the one that's doing the fighting. You're the one that is doing all that is necessary, giving us everything that's necessary to do your will, to stay near you and not turn and run in the face of the enemy. Lord, we thank you. Thank you didn't leave us on our own. Thank you that you're always, always there. Pray this in Jesus' name.